This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Thank you. rejection and criticism. I built my own from the bottom. I've gotten myself in my own zone. Never stopping. I made it, and no, I ain't gone
I'm
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wrestling Tracks, normally hosted by the great Martez Al there, Detroit, Michigan. By the way, if you have not checked out this platform, check it out. You should. It's amazing. Wrestling Tracks has descended in Detroit. Martez, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? Nothing much, man. Just trying to stay cool down here. It's getting pretty hot down here.
Winter is over.
Huh?
Winter is over.
It definitely is, man. But I'm a winter kind of a guy. I like winter for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. Yeah.
No, I have the nerve to go buy. That's the NWO jacket,
right?
That I want. That will be mine by the end of this year. I have the nerve to go buy it now. Like, man, it's hot as hell out here. For the slightest breeze, I'm putting that on.
Hey, say that last part.
The slightest breeze, the slightest chill, I'm putting that jacket on. NWO jacket.
You're not messing around.
That's $110. You're dang right.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it'd be much more expensive at Hogan's Beach Shop. I'll tell you that right now. In Clearwater, Florida, by the way. Martez, thank you for having me. I thought it was 9 o'clock my time, so thank you for having me.
It's all good, man. You know, it's all good.
All right, enough kissing. Let's get down to business. Martez, first of all, we have a little problem. First of all, over in NXT, as you all know, we had a tournament to crown a new interim Cruiserweight champion. Here's the problem. Jordan Devlin, the current NXT champion, is stuck in the UK due to the coronavirus outbreak. He can't leave the country for some reason. Therefore, the problem is, WWE operates by the Jack Tunney rule. You got 90 days to defend the title.
Right.
So, champion. We're going to have an interim champion. I believe they made a new championship belt and everything else. And we're going to crown a new champion, interim champion. And that guy will defend while he's here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. So, as you all know, it was the guy who was Phantasma. He's now, I forgot the name he revealed himself to be.
Yeah, I'm actually drawing a blank too. I don't remember the guy's name myself.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's look it up here. Let's see what we got. Hang on a second, ladies and gentlemen, one second. Santos Escobar.
Oh, okay.
Originally, I'm going to butcher this name, Elhijo Del Fantasma.
Yes.
And he said, oh, screw that. My name is Santos Escobar. Y'all forgive my butchering tongue here. Santos Escobar. He's the interim champion. The current champion is Jordan Devlin. Now, Jordan has been accused of domestic abuse, and the company takes that seriously. Even the slight accusation, Martez, they basically going to take sit down for a while to figure this thing out.
Right. Well, definitely. So this
they take the slight.
I was gonna say this couldn't come at a more worse time for WWE, especially with the fact that they had to suspend tapings due to somebody testing positive for the coronavirus, and then all this comes up. Yeah, it couldn't come at a more bad time.
And WWE, they take accusations seriously. Okay,
yeah.
They even take accusations seriously. So the fact that you're even accused is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you even accused of something. Look,
go sit down somewhere. Work this thing out. If it's true, you lost your job. If it's not, we're gonna bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is true, he's no longer gonna be cruiserweight champion. That means Santos Escobar will be the cruiserweight champion if this accusation comes out to be true.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I hope it's not true, because every allegation against somebody, it's not always true. You got some people that create things just because they don't like you. You got some people that make up things because they want to see you fail. But if it is true, then that's not a good look on him. And WWE, they have to do what they got to do. They have to let him go, because you definitely don't want that around your company.
That reminds me of a young man named Enzo Amore. My kid,
right.
Enzo Amore, was the cruiserweight champion at the time, a peak of his career. He was the top of his career. And this lady who fried her brain cells with too much drugs, that's the PG way of saying what I want to say, she accused him of rape. Turns out it was a bunch of bull. He don't even know her. She don't know him. Like, they have had contact with each other whatsoever. He ruined his career anyway.
Yeah, and I still understand why WWE didn't bring him back once they found out that he was not guilty. Maybe they really didn't like him for other stuff, but I didn't understand that, you know. And we have to give people the benefit of the doubt until we get all the evidence. Because a lot of these, unfortunately, we have females that make up things like this. For whatever reason, that's true. That's a true thing. I'm not. I'm definitely sensitive for anybody that's being abused. But the question is, why now? Why are you waiting till now to bring it up?
Uh-huh. Like, I'm gonna take you back to the '90s, man. We all know he's currently a Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas. That was a lady named Anita. What's her face? Who accused him of sexual assault? This is back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are you bringing it now in the Supreme Court?
Yeah,
you know?
That don't make sense.
The point of all that is why now? You should say something. As soon as it happens, you should say something.
Exactly. Not. That's the part that I always scratch my head about, you know. It's like they wait till you get to a certain place in your career to say that you did something to them that wasn't good. And even like who was that? I mean, it was a football player, Ezekiel Elliott. I think this was when he was preparing to get drafted by the Cowboys. Some girl came out and said that he raped her, which came out to be not true. So this has been going on for a long time, especially with quote-unquote high-profile people.
Yes, sir. I tell you, if this is true, it's not good. So God willing, this is a bunch of bull, and we'll see where we go from here.
Right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this right quick. Coronavirus is taking out a lot of stuff, man. It's putting a lot of stuff on hold. A lot of stuff is in the air. A lot of stuff canceled, some postponed, some indefinitely, some just for now. One of the things is on the question mark is pay-per-views, the events for wrestling in general. You know? My chance is supposed to have a tanker top celebration at WrestleMania as we normally do, but that was put on hold. We had an arena.
Exactly. You know,
at WrestleMania, you know, normally is a whole celebration. We go all out. It's a celebration. It's a party. Well,
right.
Ain't nothing going on but the rent. Look. So you saw it. It's a whole empty arena. But the superstars, they do what they do, and they do it well.
Yeah, they do. This year's WrestleMania is definitely one to forget. And I was I'm beginning to realize that the fans, they play a huge part in the storyline of wrestling, period. They play a huge part in the storylines of the matches. You know, the fans, I realize, is the most important factor in a wrestling event, because it's proving that wrestling isn't the same without us fans at the arena or us fans in attendance. It's just not the same. Now, I do give all the guys and girls a big hand of applause for continuing to wrestle in spite of doing it in an empty arena or in an arena where you have some NXT talent in the crowd acting as fans. But at the end of the day, like, wrestling is only good, really, because the fans are there. You know, the fans are a part of the storyline. So we are definitely missing that interaction for sure.
And I, by the way, like you said, I give all respect to those wrestlers who are paid to be there, by the way. But it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. No. Not the same at all. But the question is, like, when will fans be allowed back into the arenas? You know, mm-hmm. not even arenas, but the performance center. And that, you know, I thought we were on the verge of the fans being allowed in the performance center, but I don't know about that now because of what happened with the positive coronavirus test. But I thought we were getting to the point to where fans were going to be allowed to come back into the performance center to watch wrestling, but I just don't know.
Oh, yeah. Martez, I got Nature's calling, so you take over for me for 1 second.
Yeah,
Nature's
again.
Calling, I answer.
Yeah, this is Wrestling Tracks with Lee Houston, but this is Martez over here in Detroit. But yeah, we were talking about how the coronavirus has really put a stop to all these normal wrestling events that we grow accustomed to seeing. And obviously you all know about that. You know, it has hindered NBA. It has hindered the NHL. It has hindered Major League Baseball. It may hinder college football and NFL. But wrestling is one of those kind of sports where it's hard to tell the story in the ring without the fans, because the fans are a pivotal part of the story. You know, the fans are there to boo. The fans are there to cheer. You know, the fans are there to celebrate their favorite wrestler. The fans are there to boo the wrestler that they dislike the most. You know, the fans are there to actually carry on the match. Think about that match with Edge and Randy Orton, the quote-unquote, it was publicized to being the greatest wrestling match ever. I don't know if it was or not, but it was a good match. But I felt like if the fans were actually in attendance for that match would have been even better than what it was on Sunday. And the match wasn't bad, but think about the little factor of having the fans involved in that in that matchup, cheering for Edge, you know, giving Edge a huge amount of support. The fans would have been huge in that matchup. Even the Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles matchup on Friday Night SmackDown, which was one of the top matches I've seen in a while. You know, Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, they put on a clinic Friday night. What a sensational contest that was. And those are two of the most elite wrestlers, not just of this era, but of all time. You know, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, they're nothing to sleep on. Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, they're big time. You know, the championships. They won championships in Ring of Honor. They won championships in TNA. They won championships in WWE. So these are two high intelligent performers, two very skilled performers that can put on a good story. And what I like about my wrestling is when wrestlers can put on a good story and when wrestlers can actually bring you into the story. Because if wrestlers can't bring you into the story, then you'll be lost. And I don't know if Lee's back. Lee, are you back with us? Okay, if they can't bring you into the story, then you're going to find yourself looking to change the channel. Find yourself looking to get on your phone, check what's going on Facebook. You're going to find yourself looking to see whatever else is going on besides that matchup. So that's why it's critical that the wrestlers have to put on a good story, a good enough story to engage the fans. They just have to. And again, we serve a pivotal role. You know, we are just a part of the storyline as the wrestlers are. We're there to cheer. We're there to boo. You know, we're there to chant, "This is awesome," and whatever else they chant these days. But that's what we're there for. And I believe Lee Houston is back.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Sorry about that.
It's all good. It happened.
Yeah.
Everything good?
Yeah, it took longer than I expected, but it's all right.
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Artez, the last thing you were talking about.
Yeah, I was talking about how important that the fans are. You know, I was thinking about the fact that Edge and Randy Orton, they could have used some fan participation Sunday night. That was still a good matchup. But just think about it. If the fans were there and the fans were there to support Edge, I think that probably would have gave him an even extra leg up to give us an even greater performance than what he gave us on Sunday night. Not saying that match was the greatest ever.
How about Charles Robinson with the old school referee attire, huh?
Yeah, I like that. I like that twist. You know, that's not getting talked about enough on various podcasts that I heard. Nobody's talking about how cool that was. Even Howard Finkel, him announcing.
I'll take me back, man. But let's go across the street real quick. AEW, they're Cody Rhodes is planning on defending the championship every week, which is kind of a challenge because what if you lose? So if you defend your title every week, it's almost like you're running the gauntlet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A gauntlet, those of you don't know, a gauntlet match, you keep going. You wrestle once, twice, three times, sometimes one night, you keep going. So it's like Cody Rhodes running the gauntlet. And it's his fault because he decided, hey, I'm going to defend the championship every week. What if you lose? Then what?
That's on him.
Like, for example, the last time he had a championship opportunity was against Chris Jericho, I believe, who was the little champion at the time. And he's like, you know what? If I lose against Chris Jericho, I will never challenge the world title ever again. I would just say as long as Chris Jericho's champion. But no, you say I would never challenge for the world title again. So as a result, Cody Rhodes is also an executive for AEW, will never challenge for the AEW World Championship again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one of those moments where the executive is also the champion or a wrestler.
Right.
It's not like we haven't had that before. Wink, wink.
Exactly.
You know? Like, for example, the chairman of the board, Vince McMahon, is a former WWE champion, a former ECW champion, a Royal Rumble winner.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he didn't have help with all that.
Right. Yeah,
get your opinion right quick. What do you think about Vince's accomplishments in the ring or lack thereof?
I think his accomplishments in the ring, as I get older, I think he did a good job in the ring. When I was younger, I didn't look at him as someone that that did a good job in the ring. But now that I'm older, I'm able to see things differently. You know, the man, mm-hmm. number one, the man, he wasn't just – he cared about his business enough to actually train, steroids or not. He trained to get in the ring and wrestle with his employees. You know, and looking back on it, he did a pretty decent job, you know. He took it serious, too, you know. His matchup with Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, it was pretty decent. His matchups with Stone Cold, it was pretty decent for who he is. You know, I think he even wrestled The Rock at one point. I think he's not a great wrestler, but for who he is, you know, he did a good job. And I got nothing but respect for Mr. McMahon. And I think at that time, he was needed, you know, because he was already in a lot of the storylines. But if he was to ingratiate himself into the storylines today in wrestle, I don't think it's needed. That's why we don't see Triple H wrestling all the time, even though he's a boss now, because it's not needed. But in the late 90s, something like that was needed because he was in this feud with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Man, like I said, Vince is a former ECW champion, a former WWE champion, a Royal Rumble winner, and with a whole lot of help, by the way.
Right.
In fact, Vince McMahon is one of the guys who's never won any match. Excuse me. He's competed four WrestleManias. Excuse me right there. He beat the four WrestleManias. WrestleMania 17, 26, 22, and 19. Never won any of them. Ever.
I'm sorry, Lee. I was distracted by some kids that's over my house.
Like I said, Vince McMahon has competed in four WrestleManias. WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 19, 26, 24. So, 26, 22, 19, 17. He has not won any of those WrestleMania matches. not one.
Zero, huh?
And each time, well, not the last three WrestleManias he was in, he got bloodied up.
Right.
Well, no, the last two. One with Shawn. No, with Shawn, he's bloody with Shawn. The other guy, he got his butt kicked.
Did he wrestle Bret Hart?
Yes, he did. WrestleMania 26. Yes.
Okay.
It was supposed to be when he bought the Hart family, and we're going to screw him again. But the night before, somewhere in there, storyline goes, Brett told Brett what's going on, and they're going to double cross him. But the whole Hart family was in on it. It's WrestleMania 26. Yes. That was interesting times, man. It was good times.
It was. I don't think we'll ever get that anymore. No.
I know. Vince is for all his credit, Vince is a genius, man. Like, some would say he's out of touch. I agree with you. But the man knows how to entertain you. Whether you like it or not, he's not entertaining you.
Yeah.
At least he's talking.
I think people got to be careful. For some people that's in the, under the age of, say, 15, 16, they might think that today's wrestling is actually good, you know, because I know when I was when the Attitude Era was going on and the Ruthless Aggression Era was going on, I was kind of young, and I thought that was a good time for wrestling. But there was also older people during that time that told me this is garbage, you know. So we got to remember that.
Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
If you enjoy wrestling in general, you like it. If you enjoy certain people, that's your opinion.
Exactly.
You know? Now, Vince, this is a fun fact for you. Vince McMahon, This dude's office hours are ridiculous, man. He gets off work tonight at midnight, okay? He goes, he works, he lives in Stanford. He lives in Greenwich, works in Stanford, an hour away. So even in the limo ride back to Stanford, he's back to Greenwich, he's working. He's always working. He hasn't had a vacation since 84. Messi Man has not had a vacation since 1984.
Are you serious, man?
I'm serious. The dude don't know how to take a break and chill out.
Wow.
He's been working his butt off 30 years straight.
30
I'm
years.
Telling you, if he ever sleep, it ain't long.
Right.
I mean, the dude, his office hours. This man get off work tonight. He get off work tonight, mind you. Not 9 to 5, 7 this morning to midnight tonight. Midnight, he's getting off work. Calling his driver, come pick me up. Where you at? I'm at work. What you mean you at work? What you mean? He's the only person, probably the only person in Stanford, Connecticut in the office.
Yeah. That goes to show how much he's passionate about his product. And if you got your own business, it's hard to really let other people take care of it. You know, it's like a baby.
Yeah.
You know, you don't trust everybody with your child.
Right.
So I think that's his thinking. That's his thinking in all of this. That's how he processes things. Like, hey, I'm the father. I'm the mother. So I gotta be here. Make sure things go the way I want it to go.
And like, those are people who are waiting for Vince McMahon to keep the bucket. They're waiting a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're waiting a mighty long time. It's gonna be a while.
Yeah,
the man, he'll be 74 this year, and his health is ridiculous.
Right,
and we're
not
like crazy. We're gonna take a break a little bit. We'll come back. We're gonna talk about Extreme Rules. What's gonna happen, or what we think is gonna happen out of the car for that, but so much more. We'll be right back on Wrestling Tracks. Normally, Wrestle Talk is the D. We'll be right back.
Is Pepsi okay? Oh, our puppy's okay. He's a shooting star, okay? It's the laughter of a small child, okay? Are you with me? You seem confused. Let's role play. Now.
Okay, I'm Steve. I'm an actor.
No. Just order something.
You will have
a nice cold glass of the best thing you ever tasted. Okay?
Okay.
I think you might be just saying it wrong. You gotta say it with pride, okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Pepsi's more than okay. It's okay. Okay, what have we learned today?
You want a Pepsi?
I want a Pepsi.
She wants a Pepsi. There you go.
Like a little John.
Okay.
I've got to come up with my own catchphrase.
Okay.
Blackberry Bublé, my favorite.
You mean Bubbly? No, I mean Bublé. You're
Michael Bublé. That's the Bubbly. She's right, Michael Bublé. It's pronounced Bublé. I don't think. Dobby.
Can I have your autograph, Mr. Bubbly?
Bublé. Bublé. Sparkling water. Michael.
Thank you, Martez. First of all, that Bublé commercial. Let me tell you something right now. When I bought that, I thought it was like American clear water, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was like gonna taste good. I thought it was gonna be like the American clear water that's sugar free. I thought it was gonna taste good like that. That thing is nasty. I'll tell you right now, the Blue Blade sparkling water, I ain't gonna buy that no more, is nasty.
Yeah. I never had it.
Yes, I hadn't. You had it?
I said, I haven't had it before, so I know not to get it now.
Yeah, well, that's just my opinion, but yeah. I'll take it back to last year's Extreme Rules because I have the car for this year. But last year, check this out. This was bad. This was when we had crowds and stuff. But Corona got crazy. So Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the hometown, by the way, of ECW. Shinsuke Nakamura in the pre-show. He defeated Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. Cruiserweight champion Drew Gulak defeated Tony Nese. The Undertaker and Roman Reigns, yes, the Undertaker and Roman Reigns beat Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. The Revival at the time defeated the New Day, the Usos, defeated the Usos, the SmackDown Tag Titles. Aleister Black defeated Cesaro. Bayley defeated Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. Braun Strowman defeated Bobby Lashley in the good old fashioned Last Man Standing match. Kevin Owens defeated Dolph Ziggler. Kofi Kingston defeated Samoa Joe to retain the WWE Championship. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, both their titles on the line, against Byron Corbin and Lacey Evans. If Lacey Evans and Corbin lost, that's it. No more matches, no more championship matches along with their champions. That's it. And of course, shocker, Brock Lesnar cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase and became the champion, the Universal Champion. That was last year at Money in the Bank. That's not Money in the Bank. Extreme Rules.
So,
what do you think about it last year?
Extreme Rules and Brock Lesnar and everybody?
Yeah, Extreme Rules of last year.
Oh, yeah. Was that the pay-per-view when Lesnar cashed in the Money in the Bank?
Yep.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't remember too much about Extreme Rules last year.
But check it out when you can.
I know I probably saw it, but it's just not vivid in my brain. But what I will say is this. I was like, Brock Lesnar was the best Money in the Bank winner for me because it made everybody so mad that he won. Now, I know you are a Brock Lesnar fan, but it was so funny because – He just made everybody mad, man. I don't want to spit out wrong information. I guess he cashed in the Money in the Bank on SmackDown, right? Because he beat Kofi Kingston.
That's the WWE Championship. This is the Universal Championship. This is last year.
Oh, okay. He fought Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad, man. I guess I'm not ready for this conversation. My bad.
Now, last year, he had a I know what? I'm confused as hell because I know he was both Universal and WWE Champion. So, last year, he cashed in. Let's see here. Make sure.
He was Universal Champion before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He lost the championship to Seth Rollins. Won that Money in the Bank. And for weeks and maybe even months, Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston, they wasn't sure who he was going to cash it in on. And I guess I believe he decided to cash it in on Kofi Kingston in that 8-second match.
Right, right. Man, I'll tell you something. don't think Brock Lesnar needed to be Universal Champ, the Money in the Bank champion, Money in the Bank contract holder. We Brock Lesnar. You've been there, done that. You've done it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You've been there, you've done that, you did everything there's to do in all kind of wrestling, amateur wrestling, professional wrestling, high school, college, you've done it all. So
right.
What is there, IWGP champ, I can go down the list, you know me, I can go down the list, but you've done, been there, done that, why you need Money to Make? What is there to prove if you're Brock Lesnar?
That's a good question.
I mean, you've done everything there is to do. I mean, y'all know me. I could go down the list of Brock Lesnar on accomplishments and accolades and stuff. But the point is, you've been there, done that, you've done it all there is to do. So there would never be Brock Lesnar's own children. I said earlier, Brock Lesnar's own children. All due respect to Brock Lesnar, would never measure up to their daddy, ever. If they decide to be professional wrestler, you would never be like your father. But the point is, if you're Brock Lesnar, you've nothing else to prove.
Right. Yeah, Brock Lesnar, like,
definitely.
He can call it quits right now. He can retire right now, and he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's had such a great wrestling career. I understand people don't like him, but you can't ignore the facts. The facts is that he's a multiple time WWE champion, undisputed champion, universal champion, whatever you want to call it. He's a multiple time champion in that area. I don't know if he ever won an Intercontinental Championship or the United States Championship, but that doesn't matter.
Yes, not.
Hmm?
I mean, if he wanted to, he could, but he is not.
Yeah, he's only focusing on the big time championships, if you ask me.
Right. Brock Lesnar, I don't recall. No, he was the only chance he had. He did not won the Intercontinental United States and Tag Team titles. The only titles he's not won, and don't need to.
Right.
Brock, like, this dude right here is the Hall of Famer. It's definitely a spot in the Hall of Fame for Brock Lesnar for sure.
Yeah.
I know he'll take it now, but at some point he'll take the Hall of Fame spot.
Right.
And there have been a few people who turned down the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Hmm?
Like Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler for sure. He's like, nah, Hall of Fame is like retirement in a way. A few people turned it down one time. If you go to the Hall of Fame, you're telling me you're retired.
Mm-hmm. I think the Undertaker has said that I heard they wanna put him in the Hall of Fame, but he wants to wait a few more years, you know, to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So
yes, sir. That's going to be interesting right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are almost out of time. They're going to kick us off in just a little bit. I do want to thank you all for your wonderful patronage and your wonderful support. Just click on over to blogspot.com to the wrestling track. Check us out. Well, fortunately for me, we have a little dilemma. Our content has got so much, we've run out of storage. So I got to either make another page. I'm thinking of doing that. Or delete some stuff. So that's why we're here for right now. And eventually I'll talk with Martez and see if we can make this a permanent thing every now and then. Come on here. Thank you very much for your support. And we thank you for letting us invade a little bit. Martez, if you don't know, Martez has a wonderful platform all around. Not just Wrestle Talk in the D, other different platforms and programs. He has a program for people who are just out of jail, need a fresh start. You got programs for people who are struggling a little bit, all that stuff. Check him out. Martez Al on Facebook, Martez Al across social media. Check him out.
Appreciate you, bro.
There. Well, I got to go ahead and get some breakfast. Have a great day, everybody.
All right.
Yeah.